界神在此圣诞的假期里头，就是普天同庆，我们就一起来欢唱，来赞美我们的神。但是我们看到那众多啊的灯饰的时候，我们是否在我们的歌声当中仍然存有那样的感谢神的心意？借着圣诞的晚会还有诗班的献诗，其实在宣告一个很重要主题，就是神向世人所展现出那不能隔绝的爱。因为那圣诞节的节期后面所带来的神的爱是极大的，所以我们在这个地方我们可以更多有机会来思想，来思念我们神对我们每一个人的身上的作为。所以今天我愿意在这里与弟兄姐妹所分享的是不能隔绝的爱。在世间上面有两种爱是我们愿意去心羡盼望渴求的，可能是与生俱来的。第一种爱就是夫妻之爱。容让我拿出我在这个报章所看见的这一个震撼当代这个中国号称十大这个经典的爱情故事，这个标题是那个爱情前妻，也许在座也看过这个爱情前妻的两位男女主角，主人是男生叫做刘国江，女生叫徐朝卿。男生六岁的时候，女生十六岁，嫁了别人当了新娘，然后情窦初开。十六岁男生的时候，女生二十六岁，她守寡失去丈夫，两人相爱，因为这样的爱带来许多闲言闲语，所以他们两人就携手这个奔入1500米的高山森林里头，从此就在那里定居50年。故事的背后是这样子，这一辈子这个老妈子这个太太很少下山，但是这个先生为了要让太太安全从山上1500米下来的时候，他开始筑了那爱情的天梯。这爱情的天梯是这样子，两人携手走过，两人一起能够登山下山。这爱情的天梯是藏着那个夫妻之间极大的爱，特别是先生对那妻子的爱。他是整整50年，这个男主角凿破了20把的铁锉子，一阶一阶的砍6000多阶，从山下到山上。最感人的这一句话，请各位记住，每一个阶梯台阶没有长青苔，因为每当下雨的时候，先生用他的手一阶一阶的抹去青苔，以便使得这位太太能够安全从山上慢慢的走下来。许多人为此的夫妻之爱，爱情天梯动了容，心也被感动，流下眼泪。当我在数算的时候，这50年当中他筑了6000多斤，一年大概120梯左右，所以一个月大概是10梯，3天1梯。如果你看看那个阶梯是用凿出来的，把这个一阶一阶砍出来的，3天要凿成1梯。当我看到这个故事的时候，我就感觉我也不过如此，因为我在是甚感不足啊，因为我在这个当兵的2年当中写了276封信给淑婷，折算大概3天1封信。我一看，你3天足1篇，我3天写1封信啊，其实我实在不算什么。 但是它持续五十年。另外的爱是什么爱？是天父给我们每一个人做儿女领受这个父母之爱。佛罗里达有一个故事是这样写的，迈阿密有个侄女啊，女孩子17岁的时候，她因为得到糖尿病，结果她昏迷，一睡睡了42年，是植物人。在她昏迷之前，她请求她的母亲说，妈妈，求你不要离弃我。为着这样的诺言，母亲就持守了42年，就是在她旁边每天陪伴她，每两个小时帮她翻倍，然后唱歌，然后给她听音乐，甚至还跟她每一年过她的生日。42年之久，在5年前左右啊，这个妈妈过世了，交代她的妹妹辞去工作，继续的来照顾这个小孩。事实上已经长大，到今年感恩节59岁过世。42年的照顾一个植物人，世间有何等的爱可以我们动容，我们亲自也参与在其间，不是吗？看到这样的一个爱，其实我们可以思想这个母亲是多么的喜爱，多么的珍惜她所拥有的，即便是一个植物人。两天前的现在就正在发生全美震惊的枪杀事件，那些儿童们，失去儿童们的父母们，他们何尝不是心痛，他们何尝不是心碎，他们何尝不是那么喜爱他们6到7岁的小孩。到准备信息的时候，我一直求神怜悯，求神的爱继续彰显，因为这个凶手绝对没有那个从神来的那个不能隔绝的爱，所以使得他行凶，使得他做下这样的大事。其实这当中我们看到很多感人的事情，这个是无私的爱。这个女子叫 Vicky， 一年级老师为了要阻挡这个枪手自己扑向那个枪口，使得这个时间更多小孩能够逃离现场。20多岁的年轻漂亮可爱的女子，无私的爱。当检察官他们继续侦办当中，发现一个纸条是这样子写着什么，也许我们看不太清楚，翻译出来就是这样子：妈妈，我爱你，我很快乐，也很好。对不起，我不是个好孩子，我会在天堂爱你。网络上面标明一个说，这一位小孩的遗嘱，也展现出那小孩没有机会再回应他妈妈的这份爱心。许多时候我们看见，我们也许有机会，其实我们不多常有机会。当这个妈妈们爸爸们送他6到7岁，总共在这个20个被枪杀受害的8位男孩12位女孩当中，多少的家庭他们当天早上号给他，但是那个吻是最后一个吻。多少小孩正在预备参加那 Christmas party。 我们求神他不能隔绝的爱能够更加被我们来传扬，他自己也显出这样的爱，所以使父母心碎，但也使得我们更知道福音是迫切需要被传到那属灵世上的这些灵魂，世上的灵魂。我们今天要看一段经文，是罗马书8章31到39节。 如果是你手上的圣经，我鼓励你翻开圣经，我们一起来攻读这段经文，罗马书八章三十一到三十九节。新约两段圣经是218页，新约两段圣经218页。若是你手上没有圣经，我们这里仍然有投影片，好吧，我们一起来攻读31到39节，预备来。既是这样，还有什么话说呢？神若帮助我们，谁能抵挡我们呢？神既不爱惜自己的儿子，为我们众人舍了，岂不别把万物和他一同白白赐给我们呢？谁能控告神所拣选的人呢？有神称他们为义了。谁能定他们罪呢？有基督耶稣已经死了，而且从死里复活，现今在神的右边，也替我们祈求。我们请继续。谁能使我们与基督的爱隔绝呢？难道是患难吗？是困苦吗？是逼迫吗？是饥饿吗？是刺身到底吗？是危险吗？是刀剑吗？如经上所记，我们为你的缘故终日被杀，人看我们如将宰的羊。然而靠着爱我们的主，在这一切事上已经得胜有余。因为我深信，无论是死是生，是天使，是掌权的，是有能的，是现在的，是将来的事，是高处的，是低处的，是别的受造之物，都不能叫我们与神的爱隔绝。这爱是在我们的主基督耶稣里的。我们感谢神借着保罗写下这一篇，有解经学者说这是保罗在罗马书最高峰的描写。这最高峰的描写表现出那个颂赞神大爱的高潮，表现出那样的一个信仰坚定告白的一个高潮，还有表现出那跟随那个基督者他们坚定的意志的一个生命，属灵生命表现的一个高潮。所以我们可以从这个地方来学习，我们看见的耶和华神在我们身上作为所赐下那不能隔绝的爱，今天让我们如何来看待来学习。因为那不能隔绝的爱，其实有三点我们必须要知道的。因为我们是靠着神儿女的地位，靠着神儿女的地位，因为这地位乃是成就于主耶稣死在十字架上为他的儿女所舍了，能够让我们在神面前得以称义的那个地位。保罗在这个地方用了四个，连续用四个反问的口气来鼓励思想啊，这些啊给信徒们思想，就是他讲到谁能抵挡，谁能抵挡我们呢？若有神帮助我们，谁能抵挡吗？阿们。若是神帮助每一个人，谁能在神，我们都在神面前能够得到那力量，而且我们可以抵挡一切，谁能抵挡呢？经文里头我们看见第32节，神既不爱惜自己的儿子为我们舍了，人也岂不把那万物和他一同白白赐给他们，这是我们。在这里请注意两个字，我鼓励你在圣经上面画上你的字，爱惜这两个字。我们查考那原文圣经，爱惜这两个字，发现那爱惜是什么意思呢？那爱惜是我们在神面前所表现出的那一个啊，放过或者是那个饶了啊，就是不珍惜，就是让他走了那个意思。所以这个爱惜，为什么说到这个爱惜呢？因为这爱惜这个字眼，就在当时亚伯拉罕 在摩利亚山上也献上他独生爱子以撒的时候，那个时候圣经所记载的是这样子说，当亚伯拉罕要举起他的刀要献祭，就是杀死这个他所爱的爱子以撒的时候，天使说，事实上神要天使这样子来说，他说你不可在这猴子身上下手，一点不可害他，现在我知道你是敬畏神的，因为你没有将你的儿子，就是你独生的儿子留下不给我。在这里这个留下两个字就是爱惜。我们如果把创世纪这一节的经文连续到我们刚刚所念到的这个罗马书第八章的时候，我们就恍然大悟，我们就甚为惊叹，因为上帝的爱是如此的爱，如此的高深，因为他当时对那个在献祭摩利亚山上的亚伯拉罕说，你停了吧，我知道你是敬畏神的，他也因此放了以撒。但是在加这个哥哥他山，就是加略山上的十字架钉死的耶稣基督，上帝却说，你去担当他们世人的罪。我们两处一比较的时候，同样的字眼在不同时代，但是却表明出那神在这个亘古以来伟大的计划。他说亚伯拉罕你儿子可以留下，但是我独生爱子必须要舍。感谢神的大爱，再一次的来提醒来教导神儿女地位。第二个我们可以回应的是，谁能控告我们？保罗在这个地方再一次提到，谁能够控告你们吗？因为你们已经有得着那神儿女地位的名分，难道是啊某某人，难道是如何的情况，我们会接受，我们也能够这样的啊，在那样控告底下来生活吗？其实这一段话是对着那些已经有救恩的人，他们在神面前好像不够坚定，他们以前犯过，他们以前有这样的愧疚，所以在神面前领受，虽然领受救恩成为神儿子的这样的一个名分的人，但是他们仍然不够坚信。保罗说，谁能控告你们吗？没有人能够控告你们，因为你们在神面前已经是被称为义了。保罗继续的以反问的方式来向信徒们提醒，他说谁能定罪？谁能定你们的罪吗？其实我们翻回那圣经里头小字是这样写的，这段话是说，谁能定他们的罪吗？是已经死的，而且从死里复活，现在在神的右边也替我们祈求的耶稣基督吗？其实只有耶稣基督能够定我们罪，但是耶稣基督既为我们死了，他当然不定我们罪，他而且这样的情况之下是没有人能够有资格来定我们罪。所以除了耶稣基督，事实上耶稣基督不定我们罪，所以没有人能定我们罪，因为我们在神面前已经得到那称义的地位。继续的，保罗说神的隔绝，神的隔绝我们与神的爱呢？这个爱是用什么来形容呢？保罗连续的用了七样的苦难来形容，形容他在世间上面所遭受的，因为这些都是他亲身的经历。保罗遭受患难、困苦、逼迫、饥饿、赤身肉体，还有危险刀剑，在每一个章节里头都表明出他亲身的经历过。所以保罗写下这样的一个经文的劝勉是有他的这样的根据。但是保罗在提摩太后书里头说到，从此以后我就有那公义的冠冕为我存留。保罗亲身的经历道出了为主在 神面前追寻信仰坚持的这些人，历世历代到现在都有一个共同的特征，就是他们都要为主受苦，甚至是为主为教会而殉道。特别是在当代一第二世纪第三世纪左右，他们这些殉道者的心智是给我们很大的提醒。我们感谢神，我们也有机会经历这些，我们不求，但是我们也求神给我们的护卫保守还有那样的心智。在座的也有很多弟兄姐妹有极美好的见证，见证我们在生命上面遭受难处，见证我们在外在环境遭受难处，见证我们甚至能够面对信仰的抉择的时候，我们仍然有所坚持，这样的美好的见证在我们当中是可以做那美好的鼓励。我们不单是靠着我们在神面前那个儿女的职分地位，保罗道出那得胜第一把钥匙，就是靠着爱我们的主。因为刚刚前面所讲的那个地位是神的祝福，神的恩典所赐予给我们的，现在人的责任是什么？靠着爱我们的主，靠着爱我们的主。所以这一句话，这个经文，你我若是熟悉仔细读，没有每一个字都代表一个真理，一个真理，这真理指向就是神的爱。他说然而靠着爱我们的主，在这一切事上已经得胜有余了。这里讲到一切事上，不是只是当宣教士的人他们所遭受的，可能也是你我在生命当中为了经历那样信仰的路程，为了持守这样的一个坚定的信仰而遭受的。也许我们所看见的，我们所不看见或是看不见的，都在这一切事上。但是保罗刚刚所指的那七件事是外在环境还有自己所亲身经历的危难，但是我们在神面前许多不为人知的时候，也不是没有遭受这样的一个危难吗？或是这样的一个这样的一个苛责，或是这样的一个为信仰缘故而受苦的情形。所以很重要的是说，一切事上而且已经得胜有余，因为你都看得出是现在事，就是那现在就已经成就了，不是将来可以得胜有余。当我们有主的人，现在已经得胜，而且有余。神不是只把你所要的给你，我们向神祈求，你给我10块钱，神说这里是1000万，你尽管取吧。第三个，我们要看到，不单是靠着我们爱我们的主，事上也反映出我们人另外一个责任，第二把钥匙是那个深信，靠着我们对神的深信。其实这是人在神面前得祝福最大的根据，这个深信是给我们能够领受那个神的一个祝福。因为我们对神的一个态度是的认知是什么，是我们的一个帮助，一个来源，一个重要，事实上是唯一的磐石，也反映出我们在神面前属灵的生命的光景。所以这个深信是我们每一个基督徒所必须要去竭力的去坚持，而且去寻求，使我们信心更加的来长大。保罗提到的十个事情是在这里有讲到，他说是死，是生，还有是天使，是掌权的，是有能的，是现在的，是将来的，是高处的，是低处的。总括而言，他讲到属物质界的、属灵界的，还有时空上面，是以前的，是现在的，还有那地 这地是属于不论在环境啊空间上面的，都在这十种的境遇的描述里头。另外加上是别的受造之物，没有说出任何名字的受造之物。其实最重要的是保罗提醒我们，都不能叫我们与基督神的爱隔绝，因为这个爱是从我们主耶稣基督里面来的。感谢神，这一段短短的九节是带给我们极大的一个震撼，但是这震撼是属于那样的属灵儿女们在追求生命还有与神关系当中一个很好的一个提醒。我愿意在这里分享另外一段经文，请你翻开你手上的圣经，哥林多后书第四章。哥林多后书第四章，相对于这一段经文，我们也看出保罗在这个地方写出他另外一个篇章。哥林多后书第四章七到十节，哥林多后书第四章七到十节，分段圣经251页。好，翻到我们一起来攻读这几节，预备来。我们有这宝贝放在瓦器里，要显明这莫大的能力是出于神，不是出于我们。我们四面受敌却不被困住，心里作难却不致失望，遭逼迫却不丢弃，打倒了却不致死亡，身上常带着耶稣的死，使耶稣的身也显明在我们身上。我们感谢神，这就是我们在神面前再次被提醒，能够由保罗这伟大的使徒能够提醒我们跟神之间不能隔绝的爱。我们的反省及学习是什么？这不能隔绝的爱是我们要靠着在神面前领受那做神儿女地位的那样的权柄，是要靠着那爱我们的主，也是要靠着我们在神面前的一个深信。保罗写这一段经文的时候是在一世纪大概六零，公元60主后60年，写完20-30年，就是一世纪末的时候，信徒们大受逼迫，是开始罗马这个政府逼迫，然后一直到第三世纪。所以这段经文不料给当时保罗已经看见信徒在那危难当中可能要面对的危机，他就先写下来，因为他靠着自己在神面前的感动，他也经历过这些，不料真的是被这个保罗所验中，也看到这个局势，这个险恶的环境就出来。所以神也是充满怜悯，带给这些当代的信徒，不只是当代，是历世历代的信徒都有这样的确据的根据，这样的鼓励是来自于神。所以我们因着这样不能够隔绝的爱，使我们能够接受主耶稣基督为我们的救主，我们回应神，而且在神给我们的爱中，我们体会神的心意，而能够再一次在他所交办交付的事上能够尽上责任。甚至我们遭受患难，甚至我们有死亡的威胁，保罗在这里说都不能与我们的神的爱隔绝。这个不能隔绝的爱在神的方面已经完全赐给人了，但是在人方面，人是否完全回应？有一首诗歌我很喜欢唱的，就是那个我对你的爱永不变，这当中包含的那个情怀是对那个神给我们的爱是那样的极美好极深极广，但也回应一个重点是我们在神面前是如何看待，如何对神有这样的回应。 所以本段的经文在前面四节已经讲到说，那个做神儿女的身份宝贝的地位。后来在两节当中提到，就是三十五节提到神儿女所遭受的患难，保罗用七样患难，然后第三十七节也提到那个十种的境遇。我们如果好好思想，这中间夹杂了一个得胜的秘诀，就是靠主，还有一个深信，将这个耶稣基督的爱还有神的爱在我们身上所要展现出来的完全展现出来。因为我们靠爱我们的主，因为我们靠着对神那个深信。其实这段经文对于现代的基督徒们，没有遭受生命，我讲大部分没有遭受生命威胁为信仰缘故的人，有什么样的教导？特别是对于我们身处在北美这样舒适的环境当中的基督徒的我们，有什么样的学习？如果我们单单停留在传达着在患难当中那不能隔绝的爱，到此为止就甚为可惜。因为保罗在后面继续传讲那个信徒们成圣的过程，必须付上代价，将身体献上当作活祭，那个教导。我们知道神给我们不能隔绝的爱，我们虽能有经过那样的患难为信仰的缘故有机会表示，但是请记住，不代表我们可以不为信仰付上代价。神如何看待当时历世历代为福音为神国度还有为主的缘故而遭受患难逼迫甚至死亡的基督徒们，神如今在宝座上面也在检查我们每一个人，神如何看待他们，神仍然如何看待我们。神要的是一样的，以我对他一颗的心。我们虽然不用用死亡来表现我们在神面前对信仰对他的坚定，但是我们的心如何，这个心事实上是代表着我们对神的爱心，对神的忠心，对神的信心，还有那等候盼望的心。其实这一段经文我们如果好好思想，我们可以用两个字来表示保罗在这当中所要表示给信徒们的，那就是什么是我们的心智。说到这个心智两个字，有机会上礼拜天因为我儿子德恩这个被邀到 Northside 去这个圣诞晚会 Orchestra 坐在那里能够伴奏，不是因为他拉得好，因为他们没有人，所以儿子这个老师就特别推荐，当他坐上去的时候，哎，那个 High School 的 Band Director Mr. Beaver 也在那里，他说 Oh I don't know 你的上会拉小提琴所以不是因为他。我要讲的是在那 Northside 的这个诗班里头，他们献诗的时候大概有70个人，也感谢神，就像我们礼拜五的晚上献诗一样那么美好，但是他们人数比较多一点。其中有一个画面一直吸引着我，那个站在角落的一个老姊妹大概有80岁，她的那个面容带着非常多的皱纹，她的眼神向上仰望，他的心好像要掏出来一样。我没有听到他个别的声音，但我可以感受到他在对神歌唱，有老的有少的有年轻的有男的有女的，但是那一个画面我一直看着深受感动，这就是心智。我虽然老了，我愿意在神面前献上我最好的那个心智， 阿们，神是看我们的心智。如果我们了解我们在神面前的光景，有这样的心智的时候，其实我们很容易领受到一个意象，这个意象在于我们在属灵的奔跑上面有方向。相比于那第四历代为神为福音缘故受苦的基督徒们，特别是在那个殉道的期间那么多人死去，其实我们可以看见他们将来就在那荣耀的宝座旁边，那千万人的大师班里头有份。其实我讲的思想将来其实很近，就我个人来讲，五十年内我也可以，若是神的允许，我也可以希望有份于那个大师班，千万人的师班，能够坐在那里，能够看到被神称为信心之父的亚伯拉罕，还有带领以色列出埃及的摩西在那里，哦，保罗历史最大的宣教使徒在那里，我会看到那为神殉道的这些尤斯丁，还有这个波利甲，还有甚至那个为神基督这个信仰的缘故，奥古斯丁，还有路德。我有个美梦，其实这美梦是一定会成真的，问题是说我们是否好好的能够有这样的盼望，能够把它带入到我们现实的生活里头。如果我们真知道的时候，我们就知道如何把握现今的机会，如何预备自己，如何在神给我们的机会当中能够建造那属于金银宝石属灵工程的建造。那些历世历代的基督徒们为了殉神殉道付上血付上生命，他们在那不平凡的世代当中成就了不平凡为神所做的见证。我跟神 argue 说，我并没有机会啊，请记住，我们仍然可以在这平凡的世代当中成就属于那神所说不平凡的见证。所以若是可以求神，就是夺去我们的私心，把我们的心怀意念让神夺去，然后充满神为神而活的心，那个心智甚至是那个宣教者传教士的心。其实我们要更说，如果神看中我们，我们愿意成为一个殉道者，我们有那样的心智。所以神给他儿女这样的意象，事实上是在这个心智当中可以显而易见凸显出来的。这个意象是从神给个人的意象当中所兴起的，这个个人的意象是给我们看见神在每一个人当中的作为，因为引领每一个人生命的方向，借着这样的方向的引领，其实我们众人聚集在一起，给基督徒儿女们的群体有个意象，就是那个教会的意象。其实更大的扩张出去，神国度的意象就被彰显。愿我们能够有那样清楚的意象，就是在神给我们的感动当中能够为神国度有个回应。无论在任何的事工，无论在厨房的工作，无论是在小孩的教导上面，无论在接送，无论在服侍师班，无论在宣教侍奉，每一个侍奉当中都是带出那个心智，带出那个意象。愿我们能够借着这样的不能隔绝的爱，使我们度过这即将结束的2012年的历史的时空，能够带入那新的一年2013年。而在这个时光的巨轮的转动当中，我们能够在神的面前领受，而且能够在神的宝座面前有这样的回应，对那样的没有信主在座的慕道朋友们， 也能够有机会经历那不能隔绝的爱，是从神而来的爱，能够领受耶稣基督为你个人的救主，而且你能够重新拾回，而且享有在神面前那样的儿女的地位。但是对于在座我们绝大部分已经接受神儿女的，我们已经有这样的确据的人，我们愿意那不能隔绝的爱成为我们在生活当中对神的一个回应，我们有那样的心智，我们有这样的意向，清楚的领受。最后弟兄，我愿意在这个地方尝试来体会天父上帝的心肠，问我个人一个问题，是什么问题？是我的意向是什么？但是我也用这个问题问在座，你的意向是什么？康复的意向是什么？我们低头祷告。主，我们感谢赞美你，谢谢你自己在2000年前为了我们降生，为了我们受死。主，我们谢谢你如此的厚恩。天父上帝，谢谢你的奇妙的大爱，叫我们每一个接受你的人能够再一次的反省，我们是成为那何等领受厚恩的人。愿我们能够对你的心智更加持守，愿我们能够领受你从天上来那个意象，叫我们能够奔跑不觉的疲惫。主，我们为你的缘故，为国度的缘故，能够更加有力的侍奉。愿我们能够在你面前能够展现出那属灵生命的高峰。我们虽然不能，怎么爱我们的主为我们凡事都能。愿你持守我们的心智，在你面前求主你鉴察，奉耶稣基督圣名祷告，阿们。
荣华弟兄，我们接下来就做今年执事的认证，预备未来2013年、2014年，也是回应上帝对我们的爱。我们要来在这个道周弟兄和洪一堂弟兄两位他们愿意侍奉神的这个献身里面来摆上我们的祷告和印证。就像今天经文提醒我们，是基督耶稣的爱激发我们愿意把生命献上，当作活祭侍奉神。所以请拿笔哈，你有笔就请填啊。这个凡是在这里聚会连续聚会3个月以上的这个就请，那我们请武强来报告。
Yeah.大家平安。利用现在我们在认证的过程里面有几点事项，就是说我们很感谢，非常感谢道周弟兄还有一昌弟兄，他们愿意再次有这样的心智服事上愿意继续下一任两年的任期来服事教会请大家认证的时候也为他们祷告，让他们服事里面更加有力量我们请道周弟兄起立一下好吗？还有一昌弟兄在后面他现在在媒体服事我们为他们两位心上感谢，请大家尽快利用一点时间把这个认证填好以后，然后尽快送回去我们统计一下因为我们时间上的关系另外一点就是说非常感谢星期五的那个圣诞节晚会相信大家都有看到神的这恩典，也有一些回应卡我们也已经履历过这中间目前幕后有太多的人呢的摆上，虽然这次小组好像比较少一点，但是他们在幕后的参与也非常的多，我们为此感谢神，希望我们这个以后的晚会呢有改进的地方，也希望神继续带领我们 好，那在这个认证在数算的过程里面，我有几点要跟大家报告一下。我们每年这个圣诞节目完了以后，大概就是一年里面就是尽快的就要过去了。那我们感恩节的时候有很多的感谢，那在这个时候我想到很多执事同工常年来的他们的服事呢，他们常常利用这个连结的最后的时候感谢他们的主要同工。那我也代表教会呢，还要来感谢一下这些执事同工们哈，因为我们的教会是根据五大目标，那加上英文组，所以有六个执事啊，是因为这样设立的。那这个五大目标当中就是有敬拜、教导、团契、服事、宣教，外加英文组。那第一个，我先来感谢这个英文组哈，道州弟兄跟苏慧姐妹哈，他们的摆上跟服事，因为前面的道路，英文组希望对我们的挑战，也希望更多的同工来支持他们，我们谢谢他们。那教导方面呢，我们的执事同工呢，就是丽君姐妹跟她的先生邱朗弟兄，他们这个家庭哈，我们为他们献上感谢。再过来团契组呢，我们是看到秀珍姐妹还有她的先生魏明他们的支持哈，尤其今年团契组这个是从感恩节开始的布置，还有圣诞节一些活动的策划，幕前幕后，还有他们组里面的很多小组这样的摆上，我们可以看到我们教会很多这样子的布置各种方式。我们现在感谢，因为我们无法一一提名啊，所以我们是真的是谢谢他们。那我们在也看到服事组义昌弟兄跟秀珠姐妹他们的摆上尤其服事里面呢，总是默默的很多事情都在做，他们提供一个给我们这个温暖的这个家庭来敬拜我们感谢他们。我们宣教组就是执事的话，就是志达弟兄还有他的太太是秀琴姐妹他们的服事也是非常美尤其不只是在这里，在 Kingsville 还有这些大学生里面的事工探访里面他们的摆上，我们的位置谢谢他们。另外还有一些幕后的，比如说我们的财务出纳，这个平时大家都看不到，但是他们在处理这个过程里面也很多心血的摆上就是雅慧姐妹还有秀珠姐妹，我们谢谢他们。敬拜组的话，我也谢谢真的是所有的同工回想我们这个主堂第一次在这里中日使用敬拜的时候呢，是2004年2月20号，我们现场是在隔年的三月我们就是在同一年的3月13号。那这8、9年来的话，我们发觉敬拜组的同工们真的很大的摆上。那每次在写给同工的感谢卡里面，我总是漏掉一位因为一个在做音乐媒体的多年来不管休假不休假都准备好，然后每次他们为了 PowerPoint 的肚子大小 background 还有一些音乐施工我觉得蛮亏欠的。我也谢谢因为帮助我在服事里面有力量尤其工作很忙的时候他给我很大的激励就是我们音乐组的同工那个隶属姐妹那再接下来就要感谢的是我们教会的两大这样子牧养的支柱一个是我们的长老跟夫妇尤其长老在很多事情幕后的规划跟牧师的搭配上，同工里面真的感受到这样子的教会是神的祝福，要为长老跟如山姐妹他们这样子摆上献上感谢。而且我们看到神的带领牧师师母在我们当中，这个是我们的福气，超过我们所求所想。那我们同工会呢也有一点心力，一张感谢要送给牧师师母，他们今天下午可能就要启程，我们也为他们这样子的行程平安带到，谢谢牧师师母。 最重要的是谢谢大家，整个这个感谢实在无法一一提名啊，但是真的是看到教会大家目前幕后的摆上，我们非常感谢，尤其我们敬拜主有一个荣誉的这个我们招待主的老爷哈，长久的老爷哈，他真的是我们的榜样，他也有一些话要想要跟我们分享，我们就请老爷，谢谢老爷。
首先，敬祝大家圣诞节快乐，祝人满意。约翰福音十三章，耶稣在立誓以前告诫他的门徒说，给你一条新的命令，就是让你们彼此相爱，你若彼此相爱，让众人就知道你是我的门徒了。我是1989年进入这个教会开始听道，1991年我受洗归入基督，成为神的儿女。从此以后，我经常受到大家对我的关爱，不是嘘寒问暖以外，还有很多有关事务上给我的这个帮助。首先我讲，我说这个小平啊，有时候不在家出去旅游的时候啊，这个吃的问题，因为大家大概都知道，小平不在家，我这个吃是有点麻烦，所以这个餐厅的那个姊妹啊，厨房姊妹啊，经常啊找人来带给我带来的便当都是非常满满的，一个便当我能吃两三天才能吃得了，真是这个。另外一个就是粽子，这个粽子最好吃的粽子，那经常我会收到这个姊妹们为我送来的粽子。那么还有我是喜欢吃那个泡面，吃泡面有青菜，也把青菜送给我。还有呢，就是我喜欢吃馒头，因为姊妹啊经常整馒头给我，一整啊都是好几十个，真的到现在我还没有吃了，还放在这个冰库里。那么再有的就是经常有人送东西给我了。还有这个我喜欢上街去买东西的时候，假如小兵不在，比如几位姊妹啊，只要我一个电话过去，大家都非常乐意的把我带到沃尔玛呀或者 HEB 呀，来处理我要需要买的东西啊，这一类的，这个热心的帮助啊，实在是难得的。还有呢，经常给我送东西吃啊，大饼啊这一类的，烙饼啊很好。还有最好吃的就是那个酱油，我这个过去是喜欢喝酒啊，就由这个牛肉给我吃。那现在这个虽然说我不喝酒了，但是这个牛肉我还是要接受。但是还有一部分现在都冻在这个冰库里边，因为我也吃不了。最后就是说我这个最喜欢吃这个奇异果啊，因为姊妹啊，这经常买奇异果送给我吃，真的类似的许多情形啊，是我真的是没办法说出我这个细节的来一向大家来鉴定，但是呢，我也是衷心的来感谢大家给我的爱，给我的帮助，谢谢大家。同时啊，我也在这里祝福大家，在新的一年即将开始的时候，阖家平安，前途幸福，这是我给大家的一个祝福，谢谢大家。
跟大家报告一下，这个只是同工的认证哈，我们有效票收到是61票，全数通过。那我们现在就请牧师为道州弟兄跟义昌弟兄他们后来的服事，以及为全教会最后跟我们祝祷祝福。
最后，弥陀起立。
我们也请两位弟兄到前面来。你的姐妹在这里一起来。淑慧姐妹，秀珠姐妹。
上帝，我们感谢赞美你，是你那永恒的爱透过耶稣基督验证了我们，呼召我们每一个人在你面前凭着救恩的呼召归入你的名下，成为神的儿女。你又分别我们，让我们可以将自己的心智生命献上在祭坛前面，把自己献上当作活祭。主啊，众人都当如此，但是在教会里面兴起专心爱你的人，被圣灵充满，智慧充足，有好名声，在你面前专心爱主，将生命放在神的手中，在神的真道上面愿意顺服神。主啊，为教会兴起长老执事，今天认证的道德弟兄、主会姐妹，这个这一家，还有一方弟兄、救主姐妹这一家，主啊，他们还要继续在你的道路上面，在真道上面来服侍你。服侍中确实有酸甜苦辣，但是你都担当。正如今天你的经文提醒，什么都不能够教你基督的爱和解，越有考验越显出基督的爱有能力，越有考验 越显出你给我们的信是创始成终的信，你给我们的信是使我们越发要恩上加恩必上加恩的信，不是出于我们的信乃是一个赏赐的信，好叫我们能够行你预备叫你去行的各样的善事。这善事就是显出神是良善的事，就是来服侍你的事，是教会里头大大小小人前人后看得见看不见的事。求主扶持这两个家庭，他们都有在工作或求学中的孩子，求你赐福他们这些我们的家庭的后辈，因着家长奔跑前面的道路，让他们承受更多的保护，承受更多的祝福，他们的信心也因此得到建造，得到长进。祷告他们这两个家庭夫妻中的关系，求你因此更加坚固他们健康，求主上赏赐他们的属灵的智慧，求主赏赐他们服侍神的智慧，求主赏赐。主啊，我们仰望在你手中，特别为这个英文组的变化，为这个教会空间使用的需要，求主真是在前面引导我们，看见基督耶稣就是我们的方向，与基督连结就是我们的目标。我们越多得着基督，我们就越能够彰显基督的生命，赐福他们两个家庭，赐福整个的教会。愿天父上帝恩惠在基督耶稣里不可永不隔绝的爱，透过圣灵浇灌这两个家庭，浇灌我们每一个人，从今时直到永远。阿们。好，我们圣诞快乐，圣诞快乐，还有平安，圣诞快乐，还有平安。
我忘了一句话，
说，还有一句话说，
最重要的是这个你们父母的师傅啊，愿意我现在是大家对我那么厚爱啊，什么都送给我，还有一些最重要的是什么？
可以了，可以了。
牧师，这个还有那个叶伯伯，我们每天早上这个聚会祷告，牧师会亲自操劳两个小时，你觉得出来的时候谁叫我喝一下？
Thank you.
Thank you. go ahead and have a seat. And we'll take this time while the children's church guys are leaving. They're headed out to children's church. Take this time to go before the Lord personally. Time of personal prayer. This is one-on-one with God. Time of confession of sins. Subjecting your heart to God. Subjecting your will to God and His Word. Submitting your life to Him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's go before the Lord now in prayer. Lord, we thank You for the tremendous opportunity to worship You. Lord, now we lay our lives down at the feet of Your throne. Lord, I pray we've prepared to hear Your Word. I pray that we are prepared to obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is our last sermon we're going to look at on our series on love. And I had a little difficulty in naming it, so I kind of put two different titles for it. Love, Sometimes It Hurts. Love, The Ugly Side of Christmas. Love, The Ugly Side of Christmas. Sometimes It Hurts. I'm going to start off looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. And we're going to look at a lot of different verses. Starting out here with Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. It's the Christmas season. At Christmas time we come together to worship Christ and to look at His birth, to remember His birth. So we're in Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 14. Now read along with me. It says, now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who he was engaged to, and she was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. That is Luke's account of Christ's birth, the first Christmas. Now as we come to the season, probably one of the most popular Christmas songs, at least one of the most popular Christmas songs in our secular society, our world, is I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. And I'm sure most of you have heard of that song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. You know, when we think of Christmas, we think of that. We think of a white, bright, joyous, Christmas lights Christmas, right? Maybe not in Port Lavaca do we think of it in the way the song talks about a white Christmas with snow, but Christmas has a dark side to it. Christmas has a very dark side to it. And we often hear people saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's very true. Jesus is the reason for the season. It's completely true. You know, we come together to celebrate the Savior's birth. Christ, the God-man, coming into the world. But if we go a little deeper, you see the reason for God coming into the world, God sending His Son, Jesus, into the world. The reason for Christmas, the darker side of it, is sin. The reason we have Christmas is because of sin. Sin is the ugly part of it, the ugly side of it. And also, this is the greatest act of love, this dark side of it. Because Jesus came as a baby in the manger to pay the penalty for your sin, to die for you. If it weren't for sin, there wouldn't be a Christmas. Sometimes love hurts. Sometimes love hurts. This fact of Jesus coming because of our sin, if you don't think that that's true, that sometimes love hurts, think of Jesus Christ on the cross and the ultimate act of love for you and the pain that He suffered. Physical pain, emotional pain, the pain of knowing that you've been separated from your God the Father, whom He is God, but He'd never been separated from God the Father. There's tremendous pain in this ultimate act of love. Jesus Christ dying on the cross because of our sin. Sometimes love hurts. So, we're going to look at sin this morning. We have to understand sin to really understand the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of why Jesus Christ came. So I have 5 questions for you that we're going to consider this morning. And the first question, what is sin? I know a lot of us understand sin. We think we understand sin. We know what sin is. But what is this thing, this sin, that has so damaged us and has so damaged the world? John Bunyan once said, sin is the dare of God's justice. Sin is the rape of God's mercy. It is the jeer of His patience. It is the slight of His power and the contempt of His love. But more than that, what is sin in its simple terms? What is it? 1 John 3:4 puts it just plain, as clearly as you can get. Sin is the transgression of the law. It's not obeying the law. It's breaking the law. That's almost its simplest form. You know, it's living as if there was no God. It's living as if God did not place any law, God did not place an authority, God did not place any standard on our lives, and it's exactly like people live all around us today. They live just however they want. It denies the reality of God's law, denies really the reality of God in your life. It denies that you recognize a God. It's like you saying, I do not believe there is a God every time you sin. Every time you sin. It's living beyond the boundaries of God. And it goes beyond that even. It's not just, you know, the things you do that are against God. It's the things you think that are against God. It's thinking that's unacceptable to God. It's speaking that's unacceptable to God. It's also behavior that's unacceptable to God. God has given us His law. He says, not only that, has He written it down for us in a form we can pick up and read. It says in the Bible, He has written the law on our hearts. Talks about that in Romans chapter 2. Even if we didn't have God's law written down for us, it's on our hearts. We ultimately understand when we break God's law. The law, according to Romans 7, verse 12, is holy, it is just, and it is good. The law is not just put there to trip us up. It's not there because God wanted to throw something in your way just to be a nuisance to you. God's law is there because He, again, loves you. God's law is good for you. God's law is for your happiness. God's law is for your salvation and your eternal happiness, your eternal joy. It's true. Living according to God's law brings us happiness, true joy. And the Bible says any man that rejects all of that is a fool. And that leads us to the second question, sin. First question, what is sin? Not doing what God wants us to do, not thinking what God wants us to think. The second question is, what is sin like? What is it like? How is it? Well, first of all, and we have several of these things that sin is like. First of all, sin is defiling. It defiles. Not only is it transgressing or breaking God's law, it's stepping over the boundaries. It's a pollution of you. Sin pollutes you. It makes you dirty, nasty, filthy. It ruins you. It's like if you have a patio, set of patio furniture made of metal on your back porch in Port Lavaca, what happens to it? It rusts. Sin is a pollution for our body, for our mind, for our soul. It rusts us. It's what a stain is to a silk cloth. It's what smog is to the sky. 1 Kings 8:38 says that sin, the sin of a man's heart, is compared to, it compares it to oozing sores of a deadly plague. Zechariah 3:3 compares sin to a filthy garment. Zechariah 11:8 says that God loathes the sinner. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 43, it even says that the sinner hates himself. I don't know if you've ever been in that spot when you sinned and you just hated yourself because of it. You loathed yourself because now look what it's gotten me into. Why did I take that step? Sin pollutes, it defiles, it stains, it mars everything it touches. Sin does this. And it touches everything in the human realm. Not only does it touch me and you, but everything in the human realm. Sin is so defiling. It's no wonder that Paul in 2 Corinthians 7:1 calls it the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. The filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Sin is defiling. It's polluting. Next, sin is defiant. It's defiant. Leviticus 26:27 says, it speaks of those who sin as choosing to walk in opposition to God. Sin is defying God. Sin is like clenching your fist and striking Jesus in the face in defiance. Sin is like driving the nail in Jesus' hand. It's like crushing the crown of thorns onto His head, jamming the spear into His side, spitting on Him and mocking Him. Sin says, I'm going to do what I want. I don't care, Jesus, who you say you are or who you really are. I'm going to take myself as the authority, not you. And that's what sin does. Every time you sin, it's putting you over Christ defiantly. In Psalm 12:4, again, speaking of the sinner, it says, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? That's what the sinner thinks. My lips belong to me. Who can tell me what to do? I can do whatever I want. Sinners do not accept God as their authority. Every time you sin, you are rejecting God as your authority. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 31, the people say, we are lords. We will come to no one. When we put ourselves in charge of our lives, we are becoming the sinner. Jeremiah 44:17 says that we will certainly do whatsoever thing goes forth out of our own mouths. Not only do they say that whatever they want, they do whatever they want, the sinners. So sin is defiling and it's defiant. Defiling, it makes you dirty and it makes you reject God's authority. Next, sin is ingratitude. Sin is ingratitude. Sin is ungrateful. It's ungrateful. It's ingratitude. According to Acts 17:28, the Bible says, in Him, that is in God, we live and move and have our very being. And what that means is everything you have, everything you own, everything you enjoy, everything you possess, everything. Who you are, all of it is because of God. Because of God and no one else. Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 44, it says, of God, that He makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good. And He makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. In other words, He's blessed the whole world. By the simple fact, He lets the sun shine on us. And He continues everything, all the laws of nature, He continues and holds in place and lets them go on and on. It blesses everyone. When we continue in sin and reject God, we express ingratitude for that kindness. We're ungrateful for God's kindness. So sin is defiling, it's defiant, and it's ungrateful, it's ingratitude. And next, sin is incurable, humanly. Sin is humanly incurable. We cannot cure sin in and of ourselves. Jeremiah 13:23, the prophet said, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? The answer to that rhetorical question is no. Can't change. And then the prophet says, then may you also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. Just like the Ethiopian cannot change his skin, the color of his skin, and the leopard can't change the color of his spots, the sinner cannot change the fact by himself that he is a sinner. In our own power, we cannot change who we are. It takes someone far greater than us. In Isaiah 1, verse 5, it says, ah, you sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, loaded with it, a seed of evildoers. Not only is it incurable humanly, it continues humanly. This is kind of part of that. Sinful humans produce sinful humans. And they can't reverse it. They cannot reverse it. And it continues there that children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone way backwards. Why should anyone be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot to the head, there is no soundness. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And that is how God describes the sinner in total sickness. Man cannot cure sin. We try to legislate it out, but we can't. We try to philosophize it out, but we can't. We try to analyze it out. It can't be wished out. It can't be pushed out by any self-effort. To quote John Slavel, he said, "All the tears of a penitent sinner, should he shed as many as there have been raindrops since the creation of the world, couldn't wash away by his own tears one single sin. The everlasting burning of hell couldn't purify the flaming conscience from one sin because of sorrow. Can't cure one sin and punishment. Can't cure one sin. Only Christ can cure sin. Only Christ." And so Christmas is this: Jesus Christ coming into the world to save sinners. And there's no other way. You can't do it. I can't do it. Only through Jesus Christ. Next, in understanding what sin is like, we have to realize that sin is hated by God. God hates sin. It's detestable to Him. God only sends to hell and damns. He only puts down a sinner. That's all. There's no one else that God alienates. No person that is removed from God but the sinner. That is it. In Jeremiah 44:4, God says, "Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate." Talking about sin. He hates sin. You see, our God, the only God, is holy. He's holy. He's only holy. He's all holy. He's altogether holy. And He's always holy. That means there's no sin in Him. He can't be around sin. He's separated from sin. And then when you look at us, the sinner is all sinful. He's only sinful. He's altogether sinful, and He's always sinful. The sinner, even when he's trying to do good things, is sinning because he's doing them for his own self and not for the glory of God, and that's against God's will. So even when we try to do good, we're against God. So if God is holy and righteous and perfect, and He can't be around sin, and He hates sin, there's a problem there, and that's the problem Jesus came on Christmas to cure. That's how He demonstrated His perfect love towards us. Only when sin is eliminated can we be brought together with God. So sin is defiling, it's defiant, it's ungrateful, it's ingratitude, it's humanly incurable, and it's hated by God. All it causes is pain. Sin causes pain. Especially whenever you were wanting something and you get it, and you realize that it didn't bring the happiness that you thought it was going to. Maybe for a temporary moment it had some joy, a little bit of joy for you. Then once it was over, the emptiness was back. Came right back. And so you're left in a place that's even worse than when you started before you had that thing. And now you have a search for something else. Sinful. So if I can add this, sin is also hard work. It's hard work. There's a strange compulsion that our nature, who we are, gives to us. To have this, to seek out the sin and to go after the sin when it only brings us pain, and it's hard work to get it, and then it's not fulfilling. Jeremiah 9:5 says that they weary themselves committing iniquity. Iniquity is just another word for sin. They weary themselves. They tire themselves. Psalm 7:14 says, "Behold, he travails in pain with iniquity." He continues on in pain to go after sin. Ezekiel 24:12 talks about, again, wearying yourself with sin. Sin is hard work. It makes you tired. And people go after it with a vengeance, with their whole being. So what is sin like? It's defiling. It's defiant. Ungrateful or ingratitude. It's incurable. It's hated by God, and it's hard work. Why do we ever pursue it? Because of our sinful flesh. So brings us to the next question, the third question. How many people does sin affect? Who does sin affect? We find the answer plainly in Romans 3. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for there is none righteous, no, not one." And I like that he added "no, not one," because that's just for any one of us that think we are that one. He says, "No, not even you. Not even you are righteous." Sin entered the world through one man, Adam. In Job 14:4, he says, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Not one." Sin entered the world, was passed down, and everyone after Adam has been sinful just like Adam. Psalm 51:5 says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb." Wicked are born, are brought out of the womb. Ever since Adam, it's been nothing less. Sinners and sinners and more sinners and sinners, and continue. The world is full of it. You know, the very first sin in Adam, the original sin, contaminated the entire human stream downstream. Everyone down the road from Adam has that sin given to them at the moment of birth. It's not like you're born and they're waiting, "Okay, when's he going to sin? Then he's a sinner." No, you are born a sinner. It is who you are from day one. I know we look at babies and think, "Oh, they're so beautiful, they're perfect." No, babies are fallen sinners from the get-go. In their flesh it resides. It's very simple. If you have a question about whether you're a sinner or not, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and we die because of sin. It's simple. And so the question you may have, "Am I a sinner?" can be answered if, think about yourself. Have you ever been sick? Have you ever been injured? Have you ever been almost to the point of dying or on that road to death? If you think maybe someday you'll die, then you're a sinner. Because sin is the reason for death. And everyone knows. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We are all sinners. And the roots of sin are so deep that the sin problem remains even for us, like we just said. Paul cries out in Romans chapter 7, "The things I want to do, I do not do. The things I do not want to do, I do." And I see that sin, this is sin that is in me. Paul, writer of Scripture, a person God used to put down His Word, says, "I am a sinner." He even says, "I am the chief of sinners." He recognized the iniquity in his flesh. All of us are afflicted by it. We can't run away from it. It's still a reality. 1 John 1:10 says, "If we say we have not sinned, we make him," talking about God, "a liar." You know why? Because God says you're a sinner. So if you say, "I haven't sinned," it's like you're saying, "God, you don't know me. I'm not a sinner. So you're obviously lying, Lord." Everyone is a sinner, and God says so himself. Then we have a vital question, the fourth question. What are the results of sin? What does sin cause? What comes of sin? Let me share it with you. First, sin causes evil to overpower us. Sin victimizes you. And then evil dominates you. You're a victim because of it. Every time you sin, you're being dominated and victimized by the sin. Jeremiah 17:9, "At the heart of man is deceitfulness above all things, and the heart of man is desperately wicked, it says. In Ephesians 4, it says that because of sin, the mind is dark. The mind is alienated from God because of sin. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says that we cannot understand the things of God because of sin. In other words, we draw from those passages that sin dominates not just the mind, but the will, and even the affections of every single one of us when we let it reign and we give in to the temptation. We are overpowered by evil. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Secondly, after sin causes evil to overpower us, and the results of sin, we're overpowered by evil. Secondly, in thinking about this matter of sin, the results of it, sin brings us under the power of Satan. It brings us under the power of Satan. You know, people today think they're free to do whatever they want. We live in America, I'm free, I got, you know, the Constitution telling me I have my rights. But we really aren't free to do whatever we want. Listen, the only free person ever was Jesus Christ. And the only free one of us is the person whom Jesus Christ has covered their sins. Only that person is free to do what is right. When your sins have been covered by Jesus Christ. A sinner is not free. I tell you, a sinner is a slave to sin. Jesus said in John 8:44, "You are of your father the devil." It was obvious. He was saying, basically, because of the way you are acting, you're living in sin, it's obvious who your father is. These people bore the mark of satanic control sin. So the results of sin overpowers you and brings you into the control of Satan, under the slavehood, under the leadership of Satan when you're living in sin. And the vice versa of that, you're free when you are under Christ to do what is right. But also you're a slave to Christ. A slave to the perfect one. And I'd much rather be a slave to the perfect one who died for me than a slave to sin and to Satan. Thirdly, sin makes a person an object of God's wrath. God's wrath, God's condemnation. Sin causes us to be condemned and damned. Sin sends man to hell. Sin exposes man. Sin exposes man to the wrath of God, as Ephesians 2:3 says. Psalm 90:11 says, "Who knows the power of God's wrath?" The sinner will. The sinner will. And that's why we don't want to mock sin. That's why Proverbs 14:9 says that fools are the ones who mock sin. For you to mock sin is foolish. If you make fun of sin, if you delight in sin, if you laugh about sin, it's foolish, because when you mock sin, you mock the God of wrath, whose wrath will one day be poured out on sin. God's wrath is a holy hatred. It's an act of His pure and holy will against that which is evil and unacceptable, and one day He's going to destroy all of that. He's going to do away with it. And then another thought about the results of sin that is very important. Sin subjects the sinner, a person, to the miseries of life. Sin brings the worst of all there is on the individual. Brings it to you. Job said in chapter 5, verse 7 of Job, "Man is unborn unto trouble, and trouble becomes his names because of sin." You know, there's an unsatisfaction in sin. Sin eats everything and then keeps going. It never is satisfied. It's unsatiable. It takes your life and then wants more. If you live a life of sin, you get in trouble and nothing else. It's emptiness. Solomon said that sin, that the life of sin is vanity of vanities, emptiness of emptiness. All is nothing. All is nothing. Listen, I'm telling you, sin brings the worst in life. Sin only brings misery and hurt to not just yourself, but to those around you. And the final result of sin is that it damns people to hell. It sends people to hell. In Revelation chapter 20, it says, in the end, at the great white throne of judgment, the Lord will gather all the unbelieving and cast them into the lake of fire that burns forever. That's what's going to happen. All the unbelieving people whose sins have not been covered by Jesus Christ's work on the cross will be judged. Those were judged, and there will be a wrath brought down upon them. Those that their sins were not taken care of already and covered by Christ. So the final question, and then kind of our closing. Why all of this? Why all of this? Why does this have to happen? Why do we even talk about the ugliness of sin at Christmas? The ugliness of Christmas. Because it brings out the beauty in Christmas as well. The beauty of Christmas. The beauty is that ultimate act of love that we see. Christ coming to the world to save sinners. To save you, to save me. We can't quite understand that beauty until we understand the ugliness and the pain that's behind it. We can't quite appreciate it until we understand the depth of our sin and our sinfulness. Now, Christmas isn't the cards, it's not the trees, it's not the lights, nor the presents, it's not the snow or the warm fires. That's not the beauty of Christmas. The beauty of Christmas is that Christ came in love to cure the ugliness of the world through much pain in love through death. That is Christmas. That's the real meaning of Christmas. Christ coming to take care of our sin. And on that last day, when we're judged according to our works, on the last day in the great white throne of judgment, if you don't have the work of Christ on the cross credited to your account, covering your sins, you'll experience God's wrath. You'll experience God's judgment. Joseph Hart once wrote, and we'll end with this, "Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. He is able, He is able. He is willing, doubt no more. Come, ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. Not the righteous, only sinners." Let's pray. Father, Christmas does have a dark side. Lord, you would not have needed to come and redeem us if it weren't for sin that dwells so deeply in us, Father. But Lord, we thank you for your Son, the ultimate act of love, coming to die and pay the penalty for our sins. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.